Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, our Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett. Today, I am joined by the GGCA principal, Pastor Barry Quirk, who just completed his very first half day of school for the 2024-25 school year. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Good to be here. Survived.
Completed and survived. You made it just in the nick of time.
That's right.
Today, we're going to continue on this theme that you've been hearing about all week, which is on the Word of God. And our specific topic today, we're going to be talking about this phrase, remembering it, or why it's important to remember the Word of God. And we're going to break that down piece by piece, little by little. We're going to hear, starting things off, from Pastor Barry, and he's going to take us right into this very rich subject in our Bible.
Yeah, first of all, good to be with you, Pastor Matt. And Bible College has started this week as well.
It did, Monday.
Yeah, fantastic. Wow. Yes. So this is the summer is gone, right?
I was very sad, but very happy all at the same time.
Yeah. People don't realize that in the world of an educator, the summertime is a very busy time. Mm-hmm. You know, they think curriculum and teachers and all that stuff shows up on its own day one. we're all breathing a sigh of relief when it actually starts, right?
I mean, that's true. All the scrambling, hopefully.
Yes,
done.
At least theoretically. Yes. But then the next step is the actual school year starts. So I always say I take a big exhale, it started, and then we start with a new set of concerns.
Yes, and almost immediately.
Yeah, almost immediately. Yeah. You know, we had quite a great start today, but it is a great privilege. And actually, we could both say that in our particular schools that we are given stewardship over, that the central part of the entire school is this book, right?
Yes.
And, you know, we don't have a school that is, you know, just academic. Mm-hmm. You know, why spend our time with that? There are plenty of academic schools out there, but we teach from a Christ-centered viewpoint. And obviously Christ's words are the most important things, the essential things. And I would say to start us off this morning, I mean, I think about Matthew 4:4, right?
Nice.
That man shall not live
that's a good one.
By bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I think in general, just the big picture, what is that takeaway from that is there's a lot this world has to offer that we can live by, and some of it is profitable, and a lot of it is really not profitable.
Sure.
And when we're talking about not profitable, we mean that even to the destruction of a person, right? Their lives could be destructed. By the fact that they are taking up something that's just bread. It's consumed and it's gone and there's no real lasting value. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of impact, but it has to be consumed again and again and again.
Yes.
And what a privilege it is to live by every word of God. Now, what a challenge it is to live by every word of God, right? And this is why remembering it is important to us, that we would have some kind of a fixed program in our hearts, fixed in his grace, fixed in his mercy, fixed in his doctrine, his reproof, his correction, his encouragement and righteousness. And we'll talk about that verse in a little bit. But I think that's a good place to start, that God wants us because he wants us to live by every word of God because that's where he speaks to us.
Mm.
He speaks to us in his word, right?
Amen. Yeah,
and,
always.
And how many times in our lives have we been spoken to in a message or in reading in a portion where God's addressing us personally?
Yeah. You know, one thing you'll hear people say very often, I recently just listened to a message about this, like, God is silent. God is silent. And I understand where that comes from, like the subjective side of that, the experience, you know, maybe not feeling uplifted, maybe not being encouraged in a way. But to say that he's silent is almost to say that, like, you don't think he's put anything in your heart before. Because it says, maybe in Psalm 62, it says, once has he spoken, and twice have I heard it.
Yes.
And that to me is like a quick reference to when God instills something to us or speaks to us at any point in our lives, we have it.
Yes.
And we can remember it, and we can recall it, and we can bring it back. And, God is not silent. He's asking me to go back to the well of what he's already instilled in me because he's already said it to me and I just need to like find it again or rediscover it fresh.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I can think of so many areas of our lives where that's true, right? We, mm-hmm. I recently took apart my dryer.
Oh boy. Oh no.
You know, simple task. This, the belt broke. So how big of a deal is the, well,
you never know until you start breaking it all down.
And let me just tell you in short that it took me 3 or 4 hours to take the whole thing apart because you have to take it down to bare bones to get, you got to remove the drum and get to the belt and you finally get it all together and you go to put it back together and then you realize, oh, I didn't put the motor in the right position. Now I got to take it all apart again. So mm-hmm. I'm unplugging all the panels. And the next thing you know, I break the motherboard the plugs are plugged. So now I'm waiting for a part. So, you know, my wife is patiently encouraging me. And
you can do it, honey.
She's saying, why are you doing this?
I believe in you. Yeah. Oh, no.
But my point is, you know, when you unplug all the wires from where they're supposed to be, and they're color-coded, and you're supposed to take pictures, and you take apart all the panels, and then you go, what am I supposed to do here? Well, there has to be a guide, right? There has to be some standard that we use to put this back together. You can't just do it at will. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is that, you know, I love this principle, and we teach it in the high school, and it's totally a made-up number, but I'll stick by it.
Sure.
It's called the 75-25 principle.
Oh, I love this principle.
And it's really like people asking us, do we know the will of God for our lives? Mm-hmm. And we say, sure, we do. You know every will of – well, I know that God has 75% of what I should be doing in my life is right there in his word.
Nice.
Right? Praying without ceasing. Yeah. Studying to show ourselves approved mm-hmm. as workmen that needeth not, you know, just – all of those things, assembling ourselves together, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, loving our neighbors, mm-hmm. loving the word more than our food, all these things that are just normal. Every Christian in the whole world has this as part of the manual.
Yeah.
What about the 25%? Who am I going to marry? How many kids? Where? Which mission field?
Yeah.
Well, I believe if you live in the 75, you give God the capacity to answer the 25%.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So this is like when you said, you know, God is silent, you know, well, maybe he says, I've already told you what mm-hmm. my thoughts are towards you, mm-hmm. right? Maybe I want you in peace to reckon on the fact that the foundation I built for you is already there.
Yeah. I think about like, okay, we find ourselves in sin because we all sin and it's just a fact of life. It's not glamorous. It's just part of our condition in a way. And we always have the Spirit with us to lead us out of that and to go a different direction. But here's what happens. We find ourselves in a sin, and then we find ourselves really dwelling on it. Mm. Okay? And tell me if this verse has ever changed in any way. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Tell me if it's ever changed, Pastor Barry, in your experience in teaching the Bible in years and years and years, even with the new translations. Tell me if this has ever changed. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm. Has that ever changed?
Never has, never will.
Okay, so you find yourself in a sin. You find yourself feeling the like internal ramifications of it. I'm talking about like you and your personal walk with God. I'm not talking about consequences. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm talking about you and your walk with God. And if we remember this verse, there's therefore now no condemnation. Or you go later on, I mean, the whole chapter, Romans 8, is great for this. You go later on, if God be for you, who can be against you? You know, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Who is he that condemns you? Like all of these phrases are there in Romans chapter 8. If we remember one of those in the middle of our guilt, in the middle of our degradation of ourselves, it's like he's just waiting for us to remember that because he's spoken it to us. It has delivered us before and it can deliver us again. Mm. But I think that's like such a powerful tool of this word, like I'm the Lord, I change not. Like his words are true. His words, like he is faithful and true, Revelation 19. So why are we, you know, what are we waiting for? Let's go back to the thing that speaks to us over and over again.
Yeah. Awesome point. And actually I was just thinking of that as you were mentioning, I am the Lord and I change not, right? Yeah. Like he doesn't change.
Yeah.
His character is consistent. His word is consistent with his character. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is forever settled in heaven.
Yeah.
So we know it's true.
Yeah.
Right. Heaven and earth are going to pass away,
but his word
is going to remain.
Yep.
You know, whatever we have going on in our lives is generally when we've strayed from the word of God and the word of truth, and we're living in condemnation or guilt or bondage. Mm-hmm. And God says, I have something to help with that. And actually, the verse that we alluded to earlier in 2 Timothy verses 3, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's God breathed, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's profitable for doctrine, which is teaching us how to walk with God in the details of our lives daily.
Yep.
For reproof and correction, right? Which we know those terms are to get us on the straight and narrow and to help us. And actually, people think of correction as being a painful thing. And, you know, I guess it can be in some ways. It can upset us. But when you go to the chiropractor and you have your back put back into place, it might hurt for a second.
Yeah.
But what is the relief from that? It's incredible, right? Like you're actually able to function. And also for instruction in righteousness. So God really addresses the whole package. He teaches us. He tells us how to live, how to walk in truth. He teaches us how to be corrected, how to be instructed in righteousness. Mm-hmm. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
You know, who of us in our natural is perfect, right?
I don't know a single person.
None of us. None of us. Yeah. But God says, I'm going to give you my thoughts towards you, which are yea and amen, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to teach you how to have your ways established in me.
Yeah.
Who does not change, who's prepared himself a spotless bride that we are a part of.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like that we could be considered like spotless before God. Wow. It's incredible.
It's incredible. A privilege.
It is a privilege. So this is, you know, this is part of when we're talking about why do we need to remember the word of God. When I'm living in sin and I'm feeling the weight and the bondage of that sin, that's what I'm remembering.
Yeah.
When I'm in the dust, I'm in the mire, you know, and we think about, you know, when I'm in the darkness, like don't think of this is where I'm going to end up, because as the Lord leads me, I'm going to be led into the light.
Yeah.
And this is the beautiful privilege we have as believers. It's our failure is not our identity.
Yeah.
It's an event in history.
Yep.
And history is history.
That's right.
So we can brush the dust off our feet and get up and walk forward and live in the triumph of the word of God.
Yes. Here's like a really solid practical tip. For our listeners, hey, if you're following along, please feel free to join the chat. Send us a note. You could even do this. Here's a really good practical tip. Whenever you are in between things in life, whatever the case may be, you got 5 extra minutes in your day. Think of whatever verse pops in. Like, just think of a verse. Like, don't open your Bible, or you could open your Bible. Doesn't matter. Think of a verse, and what comes into your head. That could be something that God is trying to speak to you, because we know the Holy Spirit can bring back anything to remembrance that we've taken in, anything that we've received. So like, hey, if you're listening today and you have a verse on your heart or on your mind, like, just pop it into the chat. We want to read it. It's a great practice. It's a great thing. Maybe God has a message through you guys for us and for the rest of our listeners because of some verse that you're thinking of right now.
Yeah.
In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah says, this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Mm. It's like verse 19 or 20 of chapter 3. And then we get into like the new mercy every morning right after that. But, you know, he's going through a series of lamentations he has for Israel. And then all of a sudden he says, this is what I bring back to my mind so that I may have hope. Now, what did Jeremiah do in his life? Jeremiah 15, it says he took the scroll and he ate it. Okay. Whether you read that figuratively or literally, he took in what God gave him through the word.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
And he found it to be, this is Jeremiah 15, 16. He found it to be a joy and a rejoicing to his heart and to know his identity in God.
Yes.
Right. So what do you have to recall to your minds? Drop it in the chat. We'd love to hear it. What do we have to recall to our minds? Like, we all have life verses. We all have verses that we cling to. Like, here's a really simple one. John 3:30. He must increase, I decrease. Wow. Thank God that he is always increasing in my life, that Jesus is always becoming more and more prominent.
Yes.
And in his shadow, like, we decrease, but it's really because we're being like just fed into his body. It's like a beautiful thing. We're filling that part in Ephesians chapter 1. We fill the all in all of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And we're just letting his headship like encourage us and move us forward and lead us in understanding.
Beautiful thoughts, Pastor Matt. And I'm thinking this morning about, you know, do we give the Word of God authority in our lives?
Wow.
Because we have an accuser, the devil, who walketh to and fro seeking whom he may devour.
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter chapter 5, right? Mm-hmm. And his purpose in devouring us is to separate us from the truth that exists in the Word of God.
Yeah.
He really does not. You know, we have this picture in our minds of the devil running around with a pitchfork looking to, you know, poison everybody with evil.
Or the guy on your shoulder giving you like all the bad advice. Yeah.
And in reality, when you think about it, the devil is just as happy doing good and having that be an angel of light deception.
Sure.
As he is. He's probably mortified by the depravity of man and the wickedness of sin. The only thing he takes pleasure in it is that it's separating them from the truth, which is that God has a plan of redemption for even the most vile, wicked person.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about the Word of God and what authority it has in our lives, the devil has a plan for us, right? He gives us projections, you know, the little fiery darts of the devil.
Yeah.
And he shoots at us with those fiery darts that we would receive it in our subconscious. And there's this principle called somnambulism. It's like a work, a sleepwalking principle. It's psychology.
Okay.
Where your subconscious starts to believe, your conscious starts to believe that your subconscious is actually telling the truth. So the devil tells you a lie about yourself. He says you're a loser, or you can't be, you can't be used, or you can't this, or you can't that, or you, and you know, telling us about our past. And all of a sudden now we start to believe that in our conscience, and we are literally separated from the purpose that God has for us by a thought from some lying little scrawny chicken called the devil.
Wow.
That when the world is, when it's all at the white throne judgment and we're all watching the little scrawny chicken be cast into the lake of fire, we're going to say it was you that deceived the whole world.
Yeah.
It was you. You were the author of this, right? And and yet it's so prevalent. And people have bought into the lies for their own lives. And I have to reckon on the fact that the Word of God is the only truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I could feel something in my very inners that says, I'm horrific, I'm horrific, I'm horrific. And God says, as Aretha shared here beautifully, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on
Isaiah 26:3.
Exactly, yeah. Right? This is that God's mind is poured out in his words, and we can reckon on that as truth. This isn't cunningly devised fables. This isn't some kind of, you know, I want your outward to be better, so I'm going to give you a behavioral modification program. This word of God is able to change us in the very depths of our lives because he has already done the work needed to make sure that that's possible, changing our nature.
That's awesome. And then this actually coincides with Winston's verse he sent us, Acts 3, 9, and 10. At the very end of verse 10, so verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. At the end of verse 10, everyone was filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto this man who was healed.
Wow.
But like when we recognize God's work and Christ's effect in the world and in our own lives, we can't help but have that same like wonder and amazement. Like whenever Christ speaks very early on in his ministry, it says they all beheld him like they looked at it like they had to do it. Like, who is this guy?
Yes.
How does he speak with such authority and power? Why does it have such an effect on me?
Mm.
And it's because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12.
That's right.
It gets to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It just like speaks to us. So, like, why do we remember the Word of God? Because it's always speaking.
Yes.
It is always speaking.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter, towards the end of Hebrews, maybe 10, like, Christ, his blood is always speaking even greater things than what Abel's blood would speak at the beginning of time. Like, he always has something more for us and something to say.
Yeah.
To be in wonder and amazed at.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so cool.
That is a potent thought.
Yeah.
That is a really potent thought. And actually, as we consider, you know, the believer and the Word of God being the very fortification of a believer's soul. And I think it's important to note maybe when we think about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17, it talks about the armor of God, right? Putting on the whole armor of God, and talks about the helmet and the belt and you know, the shield of faith and all these things. And all of those different parts of that armor are defensive, right?
Yeah.
There's only one offensive weapon, and that's the sword, which is
the word of
the
God.
Word of God.
Wow.
So a believer can literally go on the offensive in the earth that we live in based in the power of the word of God. In other words, you know, it's one thing to say, I want to promote something of my own life. And that may or may not be accepted. People may or may not like that.
Yeah.
It's another thing entirely to say, has God not said, right? Like, to be able to speak with the authority of God and say, I go by faith. I don't know all the answers, but I go by faith. This is why sometimes be still and know that I am God means just that. Be still. Just know that I'm God. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah.
One of the worst things, one of the hardest things for people to do is to be still. I'll never forget living in Hungary. We lived there for 10 years, and there's a real issue with this. When you go into the malls or the shops, there's just music pounding everywhere all the time. And it's almost like nobody's, everybody's afraid to live with their own thoughts. You know, like there's just, there's got to be a distraction, got to be a distraction. And as I think about the still small voice that leads us and guides us, what's required in order for us to hear the still small voice is that we shut off all the other stimulus that's trying to take its place. And sometimes it's very persuasive and it's very loud and it's very engaging.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is God's quietness and truth is not worried about being loud or being popular.
Yeah.
Or be, it's authoritative.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the thing. Mm-hmm. If we have the authoritative word of God speaking to troubles in our lives, or even encouraging us, not in troubles, but in the joys of what we have. And we think about the psalmist, you know, who in many cases was troubled. Psalm 119 verse 11 says that, you know, our
just
heart.
Just put in the chat.
Oh, look at that. I have hid my heart that I would not, thy word have I hid in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you.
Yeah.
It's the very thing that keeps me in my life from being sinned against, sinning against God. But also, when we think about David in Psalm 119, 105, that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, right? And it's what gives us the ability to see and to walk and not stumble. And that's why it is something that'll keep us from sinning.
Yeah.
But we'll go God's way instead of our own way.
Yes. And actually in the Psalms, I wrote it down. Let's see. In Psalms, this word remember is in, like, you know, all 150 books, 26 times, 26 times.
Wow.
Oftentimes it's a command or like a exhortation from the psalmist because they've had some experience and they're saying, if we just remember this thing about God, it will, you know, we get past it. If we just remember his mercy, you know, that's Lamentations again. His mercy is new every morning. We get past the yesterday's failures. But I looked, you know, I did one of those word studies where you just look through Old Testament, New Testament, and you see this exhortation so many times. Like God says it to Moses. Moses says it to Israel. Joshua says it to Israel. It just goes on and on and on. David says it multiple times. It's just powerful to see how many different people. Jesus said it multiple times to his disciples.
Yes.
He said it to the crowds that were surrounding him.
Yeah.
It's powerful to see how often it's called upon. Like, this is important. Like, okay, we communion, do this for what reason? In remembrance of me. Like, this is a really powerful tool we have in our arsenal, in our minds, that God has given us the faculties to be able to do this, that we could call to remembrance the things he has said to us, the ordinances he has put before us. You go the whole way back to the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Yeah.
And what are they instructed to do? Put the word of God as frontlets before your eyes, like, so that you're always seeing them, so that they're always there. Bind them upon your hands.
Yes.
There's another section in the law that says, like, make them as fringes on your garments and make them the color blue so that they stick out from everything else and you're reminded of his statutes when you look at them.
Wow.
It's like, wow, it's important. It's important, and there's like power to it. So man, what creative ways could we be remembering the word of God today? It's just,
I mean,
it's
heaven
right here.
And earth will pass away.
Yeah.
Heaven and earth are going to pass away. In other words, everything that's in your 401k is going to pass away.
Oh, man.
I mean, I hate to say that.
It might have already. No.
yeah. To be honest with you, if we're holding on to that. But everything we own, right? I remember sitting in my pool in Bel Air when we were living up there 25 years. We had a house up there. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting up in at nighttime, and there was this big light at the end of our pool, and it just lit up the whole pool aqua, and the trees would reflect it. And and I was just sitting back there one night late, just going, oh man, thank you, God. This is my pool, my house. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute, what gave me the right to say this is mine?
Uh-huh.
Like, it's written on a piece of paper somewhere in some land office. That's why I can say it's mine. But the reality is, I don't own anything. Right. I don't. We're borrowing it.
Yes.
Right. God gives us, allows us to have something,
mm-hmm.
and it was so humbling to say. I'm just, you know, as I kind of did the zoom away,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at this little peon in the pool, thinking that he has something. And I think that the Word of God is filled with stories. And actually, I was looking up a reference while you were speaking, because it just reminded me.
Yeah.
And it's this.
Oh, simple, you remembered
this
something.
Simple message. This simple message. And the message, entire message in Luke 17:32 is remember Lot's wife.
Yes. Oh, I have
remember
it.
Remember Lot's wife, right?
Yeah.
What is the message of remember Lot's wife, right?
Yeah.
What happened to her?
She looked back.
And she became a pillar of salt, right? She was warned. She was given an instruction. Mm-hmm. She ignored it. She became a pillar of salt.
She knew the consequences involved, and she still turned around.
Still did it.
Yeah,
right?
It's crazy. Yeah.
So imagine that three-word message that's spoken so clearly in mm-hmm. Luke chapter 17.
Yeah.
Remember Lot's wife.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, hey, maybe God will change the situation. It's like, when God commands mm-hmm. and he gives a consequence for ignoring his command,
mm-hmm.
the command is true.
Yeah.
The consequence is true.
Yeah.
How many times do we say, oh, he'll let me slide on this one?
Oh, better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah,
whole mindset. It's
the,
funny. It's
the
funny.
Logistics of our, you know, logistical grace is something.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
God, God, maybe perhaps we look and we say, why is that person able to get away with that? You know, why does God allow that evil? You know, that little measure of grace that person appears to be getting, or the mercy that they're getting now.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the story.
And he would also say, what is that to you?
What is that to you?
He would say, hey, you follow me.
Well, if we could be true in the matter,
uh-huh.
how many times have I been the recipient of that kind of grace?
Exactly.
But never want to give somebody else that kind of grace. You know, this is one of my favorite things about driving in traffic in Baltimore, you know, and I remember even the earliest days when we got here, Pastor Stevens saying, you can be gracious, you can be thankful for the traffic in Baltimore. And I'm going, Pastor, there's a limit to my faith, and that's one of them. But you know, I understand. I was driving home one day, and this guy was cutting in front of me, and people were cutting in, and I just was getting so frustrated. And somebody on the radio, of all things, said on the Christian station, said, hey, just remember when you're out there today in the traffic and somebody cuts you off, that they have a need just like yours to get home. They have something pressing. They have, and it was very humbling to me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you
the
just
timing
spoke,
was perfect.
You just spoke to me through some lady who has no clue what she was saying, but it really was God speaking and saying, what is the big deal? What is your big hurry? Anyways, you're going to be like, you rush home to save 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But God would much rather have us arrive there alive and be useful in his plan. So I don't know. I just think when we remember Lot's wife, we remember that the hand of God gave liberty. And when the liberty was ignored, there was a consequence. There's a mighty message there.
Sure.
And how many other messages in the Bible could we say?
Yeah.
You know, just from little things that God has done and given to us.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's another one of those big ones. Also in the book of Luke, surrounding the resurrection. Mm. So the women come to the tomb, like with all the spices and everything, because they're like, okay, we got to honor him, right? We just have to bury him correctly. And the stone is rolled away and the angels are there. And they ask this really funny question. They go, why do you come to, you know, to look for the dead in the land of the living?
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then they say, remember what he spoke to you when you guys were in Galilee? Like, remember what God has spoken to you. Sometimes we go into a situation thinking, you know what? That's it for me. It's all done. There's nothing else to be done. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to go pay my final respects and that's it. And we're reminded, like, no, wait, no, God, like, maybe you started with something in mind because God spoke to you and he gave you these words and that's what you were going with. And then you get, you know, circumstance after circumstance, letdown after letdown. And you need to be reminded of this. Hey, do you remember what got you started with this in the first place? Jesus is still alive. He's still working.
That's right.
He's waiting for you over here because that's where he said for you guys to be. And he's just waiting for you to get there. Like, oh, that's powerful. That's like, I need to hear that. Absolutely. Hey, remember why you started your post at principal of the school in Budapest, GGIS, and now the principal here at GGCA? Mm. Do you remember those words that God gave you for that post? And it's just like powerful. Hey, he's still here. Like, remember what he said to you. He's over there waiting for you.
Wow.
Get going. Yeah. You know, like get on your way. It'll be great. And he's going to meet you right there in the road or right there in the room or right there in your prayer. It's like, oh.
Yeah, and his provision doesn't change.
Yes.
Right? Like the beginning of the call, he calls us into action.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us that he's going to provide for us along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. And then he doesn't ever withdraw from us in the sense of what we need to be in the grace of God, to be in the plan of God. And, you know, we do a really great job of forgetting.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And this is why, you know, God doesn't say, remember the former things.
No.
Right? What does he say about the former things?
They're gone. They're
gone.
Passed away.
Forget about
them. He's about to do a new thing.
He's doing a brand new thing.
Yes, yeah.
And every single day, this is what I love about your reference about mercy.
Uh-huh.
Mercy is brand new every single day, right?
It's not
something like manna that we, you know, you can't store up manna or it gets rotten.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy's the same way. It's fresh every day. We don't need to say, okay, you know, I'm okay because he forgave me 24 years ago. And like, no, he forgives me every moment of every day. He gives me, enacts in me a fresh start with him, right?
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with me earning it, right? That's the grace of God. It has everything to do with
God
his character.
For that. Yeah.
But also he says, this is the way I have for you, walk ye in it, right? Right. And this was, there's a voice from behind me saying,
yep.
You know, and it's not
Isaiah 30, maybe.
Yeah. And it's not just a, you know, a personal, you know, mantra, but it's like, God is not interested in what we say about him. I mean, he is, but he's more interested in what he's done in our lives and how it comes out in us and through us.
Yeah. And then this leads us into a confident walk with him. Like, this leads us into, because we're trusting in him and what he said to us, and we're stepping out into that in faith. Like Philippians 1:6 says, to be confident of this very thing, he which started it in you is going to bring it to completion.
Yes.
And then again, like, he reminds us of his faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. It's just like this. 1 Corinthians, it says it like 3 times, God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful.
Yes.
He wants us to be confident in him rather than ourselves. And whenever we're operating according to his words and his thoughts and his ways, we can be confident because his word isn't passing away, because his gifts and calling are without repentance.
Yes.
Like, it's constant. It's forever. It's a provision that will last. And the mercy is renewed every single morning. And it's just like, oh, I need that daily provision. That's why we talk about having a daily devotional life.
Yes.
It's not a work. Please don't listen and hear those words, daily devotional life, as, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. We're saying there's so much benefit to checking in with God in the morning, because that's when the mercy is like poured out. This mercy endures forever, Psalm 136. It's poured out right then and there.
Yes.
David says, early will I seek you. And this leads him into praise in Psalm 63. It's just this beautiful idea, like, that if we connect with God, he builds our confidence to be able to walk with him. And then he supplies all our needs, Philippians 4:19, along the way.
Yeah. And this is such a good point, because This isn't like just in the beginning to get boosted up and then you run on your own energy.
Yeah, right? No.
America runs on Duncan, but it doesn't run on the Word of God, unfortunately. But we'd like to change that. If elected, we will run America on the Word of God. No, I would Quirk and Garrett for president.
Oh gosh, no, never.
But no, you know what? You. Think about David, right?
Yeah.
As you just said, there's a story in 1 Samuel 30 where David and his men are out fighting. Mm-hmm. And while they're fighting, the enemy comes in and takes all their wives and all their children and
all
takes them and all their goods and takes them and confiscates them. And, if you can confiscate people. But here they come back, the men return from the battle, and what do they return to? Empty houses, all their stuff
Everything
and all
burned.
Their families are completely not in the picture. And they were pretty torqued off at David.
Oh yeah.
Right? Because David's the one who led them into battle. So this isn't just the beginning of David's life faith. This is in the midst of victory faith.
Yeah.
Right? They're in the midst of a battle and there's faith. And what does it say? It says that David encouraged himself in the Word of God, in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Yeah.
In other words, all my men are against me, you know, and they're really probably not against David, but just irate that his command into battle left them in a place where they were
super vulnerable.
Yeah, they were super vulnerable, and then they got attacked, and you know, and as we know, we read the whole picture, God has a solution for that picture, and it's a glorious victory. But I am encouraged in the fact that David, in that midst of that trouble, and you could imagine all your key guys, like his mighty men who are fighting with him in battle, and they are ready to stone him. And what does he do? He goes and he encourages himself in the Lord, because that's the only place where he's going to get objective truth in the midst of that troublous situation.
Yeah.
And we could say this in our lives today, because we've been under under scrutiny in our lives, haven't we?
Yes.
Have we not had situations where people have looked at us and said, you know, why did you do this and what happened here and all those things? And we say, it's a miracle that we're not consumed, honestly. It's a miracle that anything we've done is profitable. And even though we have God's standard to live up to, an objectivity and truth and integrity, you know, it's a miracle that any of us are able to stand, right?
Yes.
And so this is why the woman who's taken in the issue of adultery, you know, and Jesus is saying, woman, where are your accusers? Because there's none of us that are not guilty in those situations. At the same time, as believers, we can say, Lord, you give us an incredible integrity to live and stand before you.
Yeah.
And we want to be open books and open vessels, and we want to have our ministry towards people be one of restoration and concern and care and all of those things. But the only thing that really matters is if we have God's mind for the situation, for people, for our enemies, for our allies, because it's the only thing that's not going to pass away.
Yes. And what I love about our relationship with God is that he will use any and every circumstance we find ourselves in as an opportunity to step into the light. Like, he doesn't use these circumstances. So he is interested in teaching us, conforming us, transforming us, like making us into people who will one day dwell in this most holy place, the heavenly, the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
Where we will be literally in an a city that cannot be moved at the end of Hebrews chapter 12. He is so desirous of us getting to this place that he will use everything in our path to show us more of himself.
Wow.
It can be bad news. It can be great news. It can be accomplishments. It can be big failures.
Yes.
It can be anything. It can be people hurling insults. It can be people standing on the other side of a fence and saying, hey, maybe there's something you guys should be looking at.
Yeah.
And every single one of those things is for each of our individual benefit to grow closer to him, rely more on him, walk closer to the light. And also it's like his spotlight saying, hey, you see this part that I've never shined a light on? I'm shining it now.
Yes.
Like let's start taking a look at this. Let's take care of it.
Yeah.
And let's grow and have more light because
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. I mean, have any of us ever experienced an injustice in our lives?
Right.
Right. And we look at that and go, wait a minute. I'm not, that's not me. And then in the midst of it, you go, okay, maybe you're not guilty in that area that the person's accusing you, but have you been searched by the Lord, and does the Lord know you well, and does he acknowledge you in all your ways? And what a great thing to be able to say, Lord, every day I wake up, I could say I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Because in me dwelleth no good thing.
Right.
And when God shines that flashlight into my life, do I start putting up shields to defend?
Blinders.
Like, hey, this is, we've already checked here.
Shade.
We're good. You know, and God's saying, if there's complete transparency, mm-hmm. like, why are you fighting that? Like, let me just shine. And out of it comes a refresh. I love this, that we get refreshed in our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to the world, but mm-hmm. be renewed by the Spirit, in the spirit of our minds, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And as we're renewed, it's a fresh impartation. It's a fresh relationship.
Yeah.
We're no longer influenced by the thinking that conforms us to this world. But the only way we're able to renew our mind is with the scripture and God's mind and God's thinking about us.
Yeah.
And, you know, our spirit is renewed when we say, I'm the apple of God's eye. You know, just like David said, I'm the apple of God's eye. Mm-hmm. I can say that I am inscribed on the palm of his hand,
yes,
as it says in the book of Psalms. And, you know, like, we are just thinking about those things, often, because who I am is leading me into condemnation. But as you said, there is therefore no more condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit, like, really ministers to us in these various circumstances.
Yes.
Like, it's an indicator in our lives. If we are unsettled, it's very often because the Holy Spirit inside of us is grieved, or what's the other word? There's two words. One's in a quenched.
Yes.
Quenched. When we're unsettled, it could be an indicator that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I'm unsettled. Like, hey, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then as we're renewed, we start to put away, it says in verse 25, 26, all those negative things. And then the Holy Spirit is ministering to us again. The Holy Spirit, I said this earlier, he brings back to remembrance anything that we've heard.
John 14:26.
Yeah. And we have no need of a teacher, because he's always teaching us.
Yep.
So are we listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying? Mm-hmm. Because he's always speaking. He's always moving. The Holy Spirit created, like, you know, with God, created the world. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Spirit was moving upon the waters, like, everything was put into place. You think he's not moving right now? You think he's not moving through our circumstances and situations? He's just like saying, hey, I'm moving. You coming with me? Like, let's go. Let's keep moving.
Beautiful.
Let's get out there even more. You know?
John 14:26, he brings back as the comforter, by the way.
Yes.
He's the comforter.
Yes.
Right? That's what the Lord calls the Holy Spirit there. He says the comforter comes, and he brings back to our remembrance those things which he said to us.
Mm-hmm.
Are the remembrance,
yes.
right? Isn't that that's what we're talking about the whole time here, is that he brings up things that he has done on our behalf, and he brings up things that have been converted by his word and his truth, not who I am, not my shortcomings.
Right.
He doesn't say recall your failures.
No.
Right. And this is what I love, that we can objectively say, even when we're challenged by people, hey, is there something going on in your life? And they have this flashlight. And in a sense, we could say, who are you to ask that question? Because let's take your life and put it on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
When you're perfect, you can. But on the other hand, we don't think like that. We think in humility.
Right.
We say, God, if you brought somebody into my life to make me an open book, then make me an open book and do these things. And I think that the other thing that the Holy Spirit does in John 16:13 is that he leads us into
all
truth.
All
truth.
Yes.
He doesn't lead us into, like, a dead end street where there's trouble and an enemy, you know.
Yeah.
He leads us into all truth.
Yes.
And in the midst of that truth, he is there, and he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we enter into our walk with God, is through him and through the truth that he provides us. So yeah, we're happy about remembering the word of God, because it doesn't tell us a bad story. You know, some people, like, are afraid to go to church because they're going to hear something that, oh, me and God don't get along so well. No, Actually, God would love to have fellowship.
I think he's waiting to meet you right in the middle of that situation.
He is totally ready. Yeah. You know, and he's waiting daily to load us with his benefits.
And be gracious.
And,
yes.
And yeah, so can we get to know God personally through his word? It's the only way.
Yeah.
Right? His word.
Yeah.
His word. And it's spoken in a message at a church.
Yeah.
And it's read in a message in our Bibles. Mm-hmm. And it's relayed in the message of our lives one to another.
Yep.
And it is the greatest thing we could ever have because it's the only thing that's reliable in this world. Everything else will let us down. So,
amen and amen.
Yeah, so it's been a privilege to talk a little bit about this today with everybody and to be with you, Pastor Matt.
And hopefully you guys remember something that we said today. Yeah, one verse. Remember, recall to your mind these things and have hope. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Barry. Thank you again for leading us in this conversation. It was excellent. I really enjoyed it. I hope our listeners did. Don't forget, guys, if you are listening, if you are on YouTube or Spotify or Facebook, you can subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, many more. Be sure to join us as we continue these thoughts on the Word of God the rest of this week. See you later.